Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And it's our second hour today, second day of the week. Beautiful, glorious feast day today, Queenship of Mary.
Yes.
One of my favorites. Tim Staples is here, as you just heard. Tim, you gave it away. I didn't even get to introduce you. And
could people know who I am just from yes?
Tim is the Director of Apologetics at Catholic Answers, and he's here to answer your questions this hour at 888-318-7884. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing so well, my friend, because God is good, as you know. I've got a little 7-month-old who is my number 7, actually number 9. You know what, Jerry, whenever I say I have 7 kids, my little 6-year-old, Catherine, will always stop me in my tracks and say, "No, Daddy, you have 9, because we have 2 that are in heaven, and she never lets me forget it. But things are going really well, my brother.
That's precious that you're one of your kids, 6 years old, would remind you of that. Isn't that beautiful?
It really is, man.
Hey, quickly, we got tons of calls here. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to talk about, but I had this insight with the eclipse yesterday and the Marian feast day today, and I want you to tell me if I'm like really way off or something. Can I throw something at you?
Throw it. Throw it at me.
Okay, we had the eclipse yesterday, okay? So in Catholic theology, as you know, Tim, the sun kind of is like a representation of Jesus.
Yes.
The moon, we kind of think of Mary because it gives off light, but it's not its own light. It reflects the light of the sun.
Hey, I happened to say that in the introduction to my book, Behold Your Mother. Very good, Jerry.
I knew I read that somewhere. But what do you think of this? I mean, yesterday we had the moon eclipsing the sun, and you'd think, okay, well, Mary can never eclipse Jesus. However, right. When the moon eclipses the sun, it's like super intensifies the power of the sun.
Boy,
you can't even look at it.
Yes.
I had that insight. I mean, that's probably, you know, nothing new to you or anything, but that just occurred to me. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. At Mass today, Father was saying, you know, as long as we don't use the total eclipse, because that would not be a good image, right? Because with the total eclipse, of course, the sun does disappear for, what, a minute and 20 seconds or whatever it is. But yeah, I think that's pretty cool that especially at the partial eclipse there is, man, I took my family to the zoo yesterday, and we happened to have them in the car, thanks be to God, because I didn't want any of my kids looking up at the sun at that time, because, man, did it magnify the power of the sun. It could be dangerous to look at it. So yeah, I think that's a great insight, especially those of us who saw the partial eclipse. It intensifies the rays of the sun, and that's what the Blessed Mother does. She reflects, but she also clarifies. She's the hammer of heretics, Jerry. She clarifies for us in her very being, as I point out in my book, you know, who the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are, who Jesus Christ, her Son, is, and in a sense, who we are as Christians as well. So I like it.
Yeah, I'm glad you had your kids in the car, too, because, you know, what are kids going to do? First thing you do when you tell them not to do something, they're going to do it, right?
Exactly. So.
All right. You all set, Tim? We got some folks who have held on from the first hour.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. Michelle in Salem, Oregon, watching on YouTube today. Michelle, thanks so much. I lived many, many years. I actually was a seminarian in the Archdiocese of Portland for 6 years, so I still have a beautiful place in my heart for Salem and that area in the Willamette Valley. Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. I just out of curiosity, have you ever been to the Grotto in Portland?
Oh, gosh, many times. Yes. If anyone hasn't been there, they really have to go.
Oh, beautiful. I went there for my first time a few weeks ago. It was breathtaking. Went to
Oh,
Mass.
Fantastic. Awesome. Yeah, I think one of the popes went there. Didn't Pope Pius XII, I think, went there to like inaugurize it or something. But anyway, you and I could chat forever, awesome. But I know you want to talk to Tim.
Yeah. Well, one more thought. Being in Salem, we saw the full eclipse yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Right,
and,
right.
It was truly amazing. And just that idea about Mary and being the moon and this sun being Jesus metaphor honestly, when it was happening, it was so amazing. It didn't make me think of the moon. It made the sun and the experience of the sun just, like, breathtaking.
Right.
I feel like it definitely didn't, if in that metaphor, actually just made, I guess, Jesus be just that much more amazing in a visual sense.
I think that's fantastic, Michelle. And, you know, and I'm sure you know this, but it was the total eclipse of the sun that helped us for the first time. In fact, we wouldn't know the full spectrum of light without the total eclipse of the sun. So in that sense, the total eclipse itself actually helped us to see the sun's rays even better scientifically. But anyway,
awesome.
you have something on your mind there, Michelle.
I do. So I am not Catholic yet. I'm starting RCIA in the fall, but I've been going to Mass for a year now, and my husband was mostly raised Catholic, and we'll be going through RCIA together. But before we came to the church about a year ago, I was on quite an interesting spiritual journey that I really looked into so many religions just to get ideas and learn about them and kind of fiddled with, okay, what do I like? What do I believe? What connects to me? And I kind of felt, you know, like, okay, I got this. I have some interesting ideas. And then when I finally came to the Catholic faith, though, after thinking I was done searching, I really feel at home, and that's why we're going forward together into the Catholic Church. It just feels amazing. But I wonder, looking back at my experiences and things I looked into and not really believed in, but thought about and questioned and talked about and enjoyed about other religions, do those things hold me back from being able to join the Catholic faith?
No, Michelle, the only thing that would hold you back from becoming Catholic would be if you do not believe all that the Catholic Church teaches to be revealed by God. There's nothing wrong with, I can tell you, Michelle, in my life, I went from Baptist to atheist to agnostic to Pentecostal. I had all sorts of experiences and beliefs. And what I believe is when I discovered the Catholic faith, I didn't lose anything of what I was before except for the errors, right?
Yes.
Everything that was true in every stage of my life, I kept, because in the Catholic Church, of course, we have the fullness of the truth that God has deigned to reveal to the world for our salvation. And so, no, nothing would hold you back except that which, well, I would say there are two essential categories of things that would hold you back from becoming Catholic. One would be if you don't believe all that the Catholic Church teaches to be revealed by God, because if you don't, then you can't become Catholic. That is what is definitively revealed by God through his church. But then also, if in our past lives we did certain things, like let's say you have somebody that has multiple marriages, children running around that he is responsible for and that sort of thing, you got to get that stuff cleaned up before you can become Catholic. I mean, moral problems like that, marriages, multiple marriages that need to be straightened out. But other than that, Michelle, everything from our past, I believe, except for the error and the sin, as I said, really contributes to the beauty that we have in the Catholic faith. I mean, Michelle, we have converts from atheism, from every other world religion, you know, Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims, you name it. All sorts of other, you know, various Christian sects who come into the faith. And that contributes so much because there's so many gifts that come into the church through conversion that really serve to build up the body of Christ. Michelle, we look forward to your gifts to come into our community. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's awesome to hear. Thank you.
All right, Michelle. God bless you.
Hey, Michelle. Before you go, do you have a parish in mind that you're gonna go to RCIA in at this point?
I think we're actually gonna go over to Silverton.
Okay.
That's where a lot of my family lives, and so I think we're gonna go over there. We do actually go to St. Edward's and Kaiser, but since I have family there that can watch the kids, that's probably where we'll go.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of great priests in the Archdiocese of Portland. I was just thinking of St. Joseph Parish there. When I was a seminarian, I did a pastoral year internship in Portland at St. Rose of Lima Parish, who I think her feast day is tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. I know it's coming up. But Monsignor Richard Huniger is now the pastor at St. Joseph. So you can't go wrong, really, wherever you go. And it's going to be a great experience, and you can be promised of our prayers, Michelle, and we hope that you'll keep us posted on how things go.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you for calling. 888-318-7884 is our number. I am Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today on Catholic Answers Live. By the way, just a quick mention that Carlo Broussard is speaking tonight in less than 3 hours. He is going to be talking on miracles, God's light in the darkness of unbelief. That'll be at Ascension Catholic Church in San Diego. So if you're in that area, get there and watch Carlo give that talk tonight. And if you're not in the area, you're probably saying, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, everything, because you can go to Catholic Answers Facebook page and watch it streaming live, 7 p.m. Pacific time tonight. And tomorrow, Catholic Answers President Christopher Check will be talking on he's titled the talk, From Hernan Cortez to Our Lady of Guadalupe. That'll be at St. Michael's Catholic Church in San Diego. That one won't be streaming live on Facebook, but if you're in the San Diego area, 6:30 p.m. tomorrow. 888-318-7884. Tim Staples has more answers to your great questions coming straight ahead.
Don't you just love listening to Tim Staples? Did you know you can book Tim or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal, very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is! Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into, or back to, the practice of the Catholic faith. In a series of short, easy-to-read chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe in anything at all, and answering all the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Better yet, it's only $3 a copy when you order in bulk. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
And we're streaming on YouTube, and that is, oh, by the way, just real quick, talk by Christopher Check is, I understand now, I've been informed, is going to be streamed live on Catholic Answers Facebook page tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, from Hernan Cortez to Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Jerry, Carlo Broussard's talk tonight is going to be exceptional. In fact, we were just talking about his talk in his office, and oh, my goodness, it's going to be a good one. So, folks, the talk on miracles tonight, you don't want to miss it.
All right, Kathy in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, viewing on YouTube this evening. Hello, Kathy. Thank you so much for your patience through the break there. You're on with Tim.
Thank you for having me on. I'm a revert. I left the church because no one was talking about Jesus to other people, you know. Okay. And I said, isn't that what we're supposed to do, you know? And so I was invited to a Pentecostal church and kind of got stuck in Pentecostal churches for a while until my friend gave me a copy of Scott Hahn's and his wife's Rome Sweet Home.
Oh, yes. Great book.
So that's what started me coming back. Plus, I had a lot of relatives praying for me.
Praise God.
And then
you come on back in, Kathy, and talk about Jesus.
Okay, so my question is,
yes.
I have a couple of friends who are like kind of in the New Age system way of thinking. They believe Christ, you know, maybe king. They may believe that he was just a prophet, but they are putting me on the spot when it comes to the Bible. And, you know, they say, how do you know the Bible is God's word? And,
right.
You know, I just don't know how to answer that.
Sure. Well, Kathy, that's a bit odd. They're in the New Age movement, and yet they think Jesus was just a prophet. Wouldn't they believe that Jesus was God and that he's here as a guru to help us all to realize that we're all God? That's generally what the New Agers believe. But
okay, well, they're all kind of off on their own little path, you know.
Okay. So they don't believe Jesus is God. He's just a prophet.
Well, I asked my one friend. She said that, I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? And she said, yes.
Right.
And my other friend, I didn't ask that question to her, but,
right.
You know, they constantly say, well, how do you know the Bible is
right,
the word of God? And
okay.
I know it says it is somewhere in the Bible, doesn't it?
Oh, sure, sure. But, you know, it's always crucial, Kathy, as you know, to whomever we're talking to get them to articulate what it is they believe, because that's really what we have to respond to. I would recommend, by the way, Kathy, you get a hold of a new book just put out by our own Trent Horn here, Why We're Catholic. He gives great reasons for skeptics like your friends to accept things like the Bible, the authority of the church, even to accept that God exists, that there is a God who is all-powerful and such. It's called Why We're Catholic. But the bottom line is the way to approach from a Catholic perspective this, and really from a Christian perspective, is from a historical perspective. You know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us, I believe it's in paragraph 643 or right around there. The Catechism says that the resurrection cannot be understood as anything other than an historical fact. And that's a profound statement there, but it is absolutely true. Another great book, Leo Strobel just came out with a movie based on his book, The Case for Christ. Excellent book. In fact, he's got one, Case for the Creator, that's good too, and Case for Christ. But you can approach the scriptures as a skeptic from a historical perspective, and what you're going to conclude, I'll throw out one more name here. There was a British, actually I think he was Scottish, archaeologist by the name of Sir William Ramsay in the 19th century, who was a skeptic and set out to do a historical, archaeological sort of critique of the New Testament, in particular Luke and the book of Acts. And he actually became a Christian in the process, because what he discovered was that the New Testament, in particular Luke, Acts, represented the most accurate work of antiquity he had ever investigated. And again, he ended up becoming a Christian. See, what you discover as you approach the New Testament as a skeptic is we have an accurate historical documented, not just book, but series of books that show us there really was a man named Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago. And by the way, you don't have to stay in the pages of the New Testament, and any critic of the New Testament doesn't. This is attested to not only by Scripture and by believers, but by unbelievers as well, because there are historical works like Tacitus, the Roman historian, Suetonius, you know, Josephus, Pliny the Younger. There's a whole host of documents outside of Christianity that also testify to the existence of Jesus Christ and the early followers of Jesus known as Christians. And so once you get there where you see this is accurate history that's being portrayed here, then you have to deal with who is this person, Jesus Christ. And the fact is, as a matter of history, Jesus claimed to be God, proved he was God through the miracles that he performed, and ultimately the miracle of miracles, when he raised himself from the dead, as he prophesied he would in John chapter 2. He said, destroy this temple, in verse 21, the temple of his body, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And of course, he fulfilled his own prophecy by raising himself from the dead. And that too is attested to by unbelievers who were running in the other direction, didn't believe, became believers when they saw the resurrected Lord. So there's tons of evidence from a historical perspective. But ultimately, Kathy, what we have to do is bring folks to that challenge. Now, who do you say Jesus Christ is? This is what's revealed. This is the history. He's God. He claimed to be God. He proved himself to be God. Now, what are you going to do with him? And then I would add, we Catholics would add, very importantly, Jesus also established a church, and that is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And that, too, is a matter of history. The Catholic Church is the church Jesus Christ established. And he gave to that church his authority to speak for him. And another little added bonus, Kathy, is we just happen to have in every generation for 2,000 years miracles that continue to testify to the veracity of the message. Because Jesus said, for example, in Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover and so forth. And in fact, we have had that, as I said, in every generation. Those that are going to see Carla Broussard speak tonight, you're going to get a whole earful of some of the miracles that testify to the veracity of the Catholic message. But anyway, Kathy, I hope that gets you started. Does that help?
Yes, very much. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. All right, going over to Tony next in Fredericksburg, Texas. Hello, Tony. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live with Tim Staples.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Yep. Hi, this isn't Tony. This is Ellen in Orange County.
Oh, oops. Hi, Ellen. Sorry about that.
All right, Ellen.
Go ahead and fire away, Ellen. We've got a break coming up in a couple minutes, and we may have to carry you over, but
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. I just became Catholic this past Easter after being a cradle Protestant.
Yes.
And I was having lunch with one of my Protestant friends recently, and what I'm kind of running into with most of the Protestants that I know is that they sort of see all the churches as various denominations, and one is as good as another, and Catholic is just another of the many options that
sure.
you have to choose from.
Yeah. That's so one of the unfortunate results of the Protestant rebellion of 500 years ago. But go ahead.
So we had this talk, and, you know, we talked about various things that we may or may not agree on. And at the very end, she said, well, as long as you don't say that you must be baptized to be saved,
okay,
then, you know, we're good. And I thought, what a strange point to choose. I
yes.
don't know why she chose that. So my question is,
yes.
Do Catholics believe that you must be baptized to be saved?
Yes.
And then I have a follow-up question related to that.
Sure. Yeah, the answer is yes, but it, you know, not because the Catholics say it, but because, of course, Jesus said it. In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. In fact, 1 Peter 3:21, St. Peter says, baptism does now save us. All right, it's hard to get, with a lot of our doctrines, words any more plain than that. And we could go on. Acts 22:16, Ananias says to Saul of Tarsus, right, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We have John 3:3-5. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. A clear reference to baptism being necessary for salvation. Now, we should qualify this because even though we say it is objectively necessary for salvation, We have also in our theology rooted in sacred scripture. For example, in John 15:22, Jesus says concerning Jews to whom he was speaking, many of whom were rejecting him, he said, "If I had not spoken to them, they would have no sin. Now I have spoken to them, their sin remains." Jesus there gives us a principle that teaches we're only responsible for what we know. So if someone is truly invincibly ignorant of the truth that you have to be baptized to be saved, or even that you have to believe in Jesus Christ, or even that there is such a person as Jesus Christ, we believe they have the possibility of salvation if they are truly not responsible for their ignorance, and they seek God the best way they can where they are and cooperate with the graces they are given. But again, ordinarily speaking, yes, baptism is necessary for salvation.
Ellen, hang on just for a minute. We'll make sure that that was all that you were after with Tim here on the program today. Catholic Answers Live continues on the other side of this break.
Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. In a series of short, easy-to-read chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe in anything at all and answering all the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Better yet, it's only $3 a copy when you order in bulk. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Christian men, beware. With the idols of materialism, entertainment, and the flesh, it's plain to see that the world wants you for its own. Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Lessons to Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ, Father Ehrman draws on his experiences counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique format, he offers a plan for ongoing conversion, holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Father Larry Richards.
You know, I'm from the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and both of my parents, both of them, were police officers. My father was a police officer, and my mother was a police officer. They always thought I'd be a cop, too, and in some ways I am, a spiritual cop. But we keep doing what we do, and we come from wherever we come from, it doesn't matter. Where God is calling us is what's most important.
Open Line with Father Larry Richards, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I know you're all yearning to have Cy Kellett back. He will be back in the host chair tomorrow right here on Catholic Answers Live. I'm Jerry Usher, blessed, really honored to be able to sit in for Cy today. Many of these same affiliates carry my weekday program on EWTN Radio, Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern Time, and also a replay, an encore at midnight Eastern. Tim, you've been a guest on our program before, so.
Yes, I have, yeah. And had a lot of fun.
Good. All right. So we are talking with Ellen, who is in Orange County, California.
Yes.
Ellen, did you have something else for Tim as a follow? Did you get what you were looking for on that initial answer there?
Yeah, that's pretty much how I thought you would answer that question. And I did have a follow-up question.
Sure.
I also wanted to throw out the example of Cornelius.
Yes.
In Acts 9 and 10, where his whole family, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And then after that,
yes,
Peter baptized them.
Correct.
So there was some need for it.
Yeah, here's the key, Ellen, with that, because some will use that to show. See, baptism is not necessary because the Holy Spirit already fell on them. But the whole point of the story there, and by the way, that's in Acts chapters 10 and 11. The whole point of the story there is that Peter and the apostles, especially Peter, didn't want to baptize them because they didn't want them to be Christians, right? At first, the Jews were only, you know, Peter spoke to the Jews at Pentecost, and they did not go out to the Gentiles. That was the whole point. They were keeping it to themselves until Jesus had to give a revelation to St. Peter there in Acts chapter 10. And even when he did, Peter still rejected, I think it was three times he said, "Not so, not so, Lord, not so." Remember when our Lord gave Peter the revelation of all manner of unclean animals coming down as on top of a sheet. And he says, Jesus says, "Kill and eat." And Peter says, "Not so, Lord. There's never been anything unclean on my lips." And Jesus says, "Don't you call unclean what I've called clean." The metaphor there is that not only did Jesus declare all meats clean, but people clean. And so that's the context in which Jesus had already called Cornelius there in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, who was a Gentile. And of course, then he meets with Peter. But even so, Peter is speaking to him and those that were with him. And the Holy Spirit fell on him even while he was speaking. And then Peter says, "Who were we to withstand God?" And so they baptized them. In other words, God performed that miracle. He did something out of the ordinary. The Holy Spirit fell on them before they were baptized. I mean, the ordinary is, as we see in Matthew 3:16. Remember, Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit descends from heaven. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Of course, Jesus didn't need that to be saved. He was showing us the way of salvation through baptism, as you know, John's baptism was in Luke chapter 1, verse 77, was to show us the way of salvation. That's the ordinary way. But of course, God can give his grace apart from the ordinary means, which are the sacraments. He can do that. We have a belief, as you may know, Kathy, in baptism by desire, for example, baptism by blood. Those who are not baptized but seek, who desire Christ, can receive the graces of the sacrament without the actual sacrament itself in extraordinary cases. And of course, Acts chapter 10 is an extraordinary case. But at any rate, yes, baptism is clearly necessary ordinarily for salvation. But you had one other thing, right, Kathy?
Or Ellen?
Ellen. We're using all the wrong names for you, Ellen. I don't know why, but go ahead.
In Matthew 22, the parable of the banquet, where they I always wondered, what was the deal with the guy who didn't have the robe? What does that represent? And I'm wondering what the church fathers thought of that. And is it possible that the robe, that was baptism?
Yeah, well, it's certainly related to baptism. Classically, we understand that as sanctifying grace. If you don't have sanctifying grace on your soul, you will not go to heaven. And now, how do we first enter into Christ and receive sanctifying grace? Through baptism. So the two are inexorably connected, right? So, you know, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, right? We are buried together with him through baptism, so that as Christ was raised to newness of life, we may walk in newness of life. So the garment is sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace comes to us through the sacraments, principally baptism, Eucharist.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for the phone call. We got a lot of people that we're going to get to here on this Tuesday Q&A open forum, Catholic Answers Live. Here's the number, by the way. It's 888-318-7884 if you'd like to join us. All right. I think Tony is next in Fredericksburg, Texas. Tony, we're going to get you on here one way or another. Hi, Tony. You with us?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
Welcome.
Go right ahead, Tony. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. I just came back to the church, and I was just wondering, like, there's a lot of stuff that I've forgotten because I was taught at a younger age.
Yes.
But I was wondering on how me and my wife can take the Eucharist at church. We're not married through church, but we've been together for like 9 years.
Okay.
Going on 10. And I was just wondering, like that's the only thing that we can do at church. I mean, we can ask. That's what I've heard. I can't take it because, you know.
Yes.
Because we're in sin.
Okay.
So I was just wondering
can I ask you a couple of questions? Were you Catholic and left the church and then came back to the church?
Yes, sir. But I was like 9 or 10, sir.
When you left the Catholic faith?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't leave it.
Yes.
You know, I just didn't. I just never stuck with it.
Okay, you never, but you were baptized Catholic.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I was very, very young.
Right. So, yes, if you were Catholic, we say you're bound by canonical form. And so for a Catholic to be married outside of the church, that marriage is presumed invalid. So you would not be able to receive the Eucharist. But the good news is, Tony, if you have come back to the faith, all you need to do is talk to a priest. You go to your pastor, tell him your situation, and he'll be able to sit down with you and, you know, figure out exactly, you know, there's a lot of factors. We don't ordinarily like to get into all the details on the broadcast like this because there's a lot of factors involved, whether your wife is baptized, you say you were baptized Catholic. There are a lot of factors that need to be considered. But no, you can't receive the Eucharist until your marriage is regularized in the church. And because you're a Catholic, married outside of the Catholic Church, you would have to have that marriage convalidated because it's presumed invalid. So you would have to have your marriage convalidated. But, you know, that may sound scary, right? What do you mean it's invalid? But we always recommend go and talk to your pastor because it's amazing how things can be often cleared up relatively easily. Now, of course, if there are previous marriages, now, did you attempt marriage more than once?
No, sir. This is, we've never been married, neither one of us. Both of us are both okay. Catholic people. We've never, the only thing, the yeah. reason why we're together, it says through a court, you know, we went through,
yeah.
we went to the court and everything, and they said, hey, y'all legally are together, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And we want to get by the Catholic faith.
Oh,
neither
yeah.
one of us has been married. That's what we want.
Oh, my so goodness, Tony. Yeah, piece of cake, my friend. You need to just go with your wife to your parish, talk to your pastor, and he will be, I guarantee you, excited to be able to share with you exactly what you need to do to have your marriage convalidated in the church. And my goodness, it will be a glorious day. So stay in touch, Tony, after you talk to the priest and get your marriage convalidated. Let us know how things go, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, brother.
I also had another question.
Yes, fire away.
About the whole baptism thing, I was baptized when I was younger.
Yes.
I feel like I should be baptized again for the simple fact that, you know, I'm starting to understand more of what I'm reading when I read the Bible.
Right.
And I feel like I was in the right opportunity. You know, I was only forgiven for my first sin by entertaining this world, you know what I mean? Whenever I was first baptized as a,
right.
as a little kid.
Yes.
And I feel like now I have, like, yes. can I do that?
Right. No, Tony. But, you know, I appreciate the sentiment. You know, you're talking to someone here who is a former Baptist and Assembly of God youth minister. I can understand your sentiment, but understand here, baptism in the New Testament, for example, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, St. Paul refers to it as the circumcision of Christ. Now, Tony, that shows us, and by the way, St. Paul uses the image of circumcision as well for baptism in Galatians 3:27, where he says, we are baptized into Jesus Christ, where there is no longer bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, male nor female, for all are one in him. He's drawing an allusion there to circumcision, which could only be done to a free male Jew. He's saying baptism now, which is the fulfillment of circumcision, is for everyone, not just to free male Jews. So Tony, understand, when they were circumcised in the Old Testament, they were 8 days old. All right, so baptism, which is the fulfillment of circumcision, of course we would communicate that to children. You know, we have, Tony, original sin on our souls, for example. Romans 5:12 tells us, right? By the sin of Adam, sin and death came upon all of us. And that has to be taken care of in baptism. So you had a tremendous blessing in being baptized as a baby, as a young child, as you said. Now what you need is to be converted to really allow the graces of the sacrament of baptism to flourish in your life. Tony, were you confirmed as a Catholic?
Yes, sir. I did all of that when I was young.
Good. Okay. Well, you have the grace then. You have the marks on your soul. We say that baptism and confirmation make an indelible marks on your soul. And, you know, when you received the sacraments of initiation, you received a sacramental explosion, you know, in your soul, making you supernatural, a Christian, right? And able to perform good works to merit salvation and so forth. Now, you got away from your faith. You don't have to go back and be baptized again or be confirmed again. What you need to be is converted again to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit again. Here's a good example of what I mean, Tony. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was their confirmation in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And yet, in Acts 4:31, just two chapters later, the Bible says they were filled with the Spirit again. Why is that? They were filled with the Spirit in Acts 2:4. They were filled again in Acts 4:31. It doesn't mean they were confirmed again. No, they were praying and such, and the room was shaken where they were, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The reason we need to be filled with the Spirit again and again and again is because I always like to jokingly say, Tony, we leak, right? We get filled, but we leak. We sin. And so we need the sacraments, the Eucharist most especially, because remember Jesus said, Tony, in John 6:53, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, right? St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:15 that when we receive the sacred host, that is our participation in the body of Christ. When we receive from the sacred chalice, that is our participation in the blood of Christ. That gives us the life of God to sustain us. And that's why we need that ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ through the sacraments, most especially the Eucharist. That's what you need, Tony, is simply to be rekindled in the faith that you received as a child. So I would encourage you, frequent the sacraments, go to confession, talk to your priest there at your parish, get involved in your parish, and begin that life of faith. Does that make sense, Tony?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's no need for another baptism. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, St. Paul says, there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Once you're baptized once, if it's a valid baptism and yours was, you never need to be baptized again, but you need to be rekindled. We have to renew our baptismal promises every day, recommit our lives to Jesus Christ every single day, and continue to receive from his Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said in Luke 9:23, unless you take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. That's what you need to do, and we all need to do. Take up that cross daily. God bless you, and thank you for your call.
Yeah, you'll be in our prayers, Tony. Thanks so much for joining us on Catholic Answers Live. Sheila in Boston is next, and if you are on hold, we hope to get to you. So hang on. More with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live, Tuesday Q&A Open Forum. Straight ahead, I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. We'll be right back.
Call now. Tim is waiting to speak with you.
Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines by apologist and speaker Tim Staples is an apologetics tour de force, which delves deeper than ever before into the Catholic Church's teaching on our Blessed Mother. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her Assumption into Heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, Tim gives you the facts and backs them up with solid biblical biblical evidence in the way only Tim Staples can do. Call 1-888-291-8000, log on to Catholic.com, or visit a good Catholic bookstore in your area and get your copy of Behold Your Mother today. Now available in paperback and as an ebook. Get your copy today.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 19:23, Jesus told his disciples, "Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." In their astonishment, the disciples responded, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus answered, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." One doesn't have to be wealthy to understand the difficulty Jesus is speaking about. Just look at the difficulty we have giving up unhealthy foods, or smoking, or overeating, or the many other enticements that have us in their grip. "Then who can be saved?" as the disciples asked. "For God all things are possible, but are they likely?" They are quite likely if they are expressions of our generosity and not self-centeredness. He is always ready to encourage us in our attempts to love Him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
All right, I want to get as many of you in as we can today. Sheila in Boston, listening on the Station of the Cross. Good to have you with us, Sheila. How can Tim help you?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, I'm sorry. The phone just went dead. It sounded like a beep.
Okay.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
First of all, I've been watching, and I have been for a while now, The World Over Live.
Yes.
With Raymond Arroyo.
Yes.
And he's had Cardinal Mueller.
Yes.
On, and, you know, about discussing about the, all of a sudden I forgot to.
Oh, divorced and remarried Catholics?
Yes, the annulment. Yes.
Yes.
Whether or not Catholics.
Yes.
Married couples after divorcing,
yes.
And then remarrying without an annulment, can they receive the Holy Eucharist?
Yes, yes.
And yes, and Cardinal Mueller believes,
yes.
That, you know, Jesus, God wrote the book, and nobody can change that.
Right.
And they haven't, and they've been waiting to hear the other cardinals.
Yes.
From Pope Francis.
Sure.
And they haven't been given a clear answer on that.
Yeah. Well, Sheila, let me.
I think it was Father,
yes.
Burke also. I mean, Cardinal Burke.
Yes. Yes, Sheila. Well, I would encourage you to check out my website at timstaples.com. In fact, I have a series of four blog posts I just wrote not long ago on that. You'll see that at timstaples.com. But I do believe, Sheila, that Pope Francis has given clear teaching on this. He wrote Amoris Laetitia, which is an apostolic exhortation, in fact, on this. And I know Cardinal Mueller and Cardinal Burke don't like what Pope Francis has said. It's one thing to say you don't like what he says. It's another thing to say he wasn't clear about what he said. But Sheila, he is clear on what he says there, you know, in footnote 351, for example, that has really opened up this question. And I do think, Sheila, you're not going to get a response to the dubia or the 45 theologians who wrote their letter as well from this pope. I think that's going to come via the next pope. I don't think you're going to hear it here. You know, Pope Francis believes he has already spoken on this matter. And the real matter really comes down to, is it divine law that a person who is divorced and remarried outside of the church and is in an extraordinary circumstance where he or she is not more is deemed not to be mortally culpable. Is it a matter of divine law that that person can't receive the Eucharist even though they're not guilty of or they're not mortally culpable for sin? That's the real question. And our Pope, Pope Francis, has opened up this question. And I believe that it will be eventually clarified. And again, I don't see it happening with this Pope. But our Holy Father believes that in extraordinary circumstances, and I mention an example of this on my blog post, if you check it out there at timstaples.com, that it is possible that in, and these are rare circumstances, they're extraordinary circumstances where it may be possible. Now, Cardinal Mueller, of course, holds the position, it seems to me, reading what he wrote, that Jesus eliminates Pope Francis's scenario as a possibility. And I respectfully believe Cardinal Mueller and Cardinal Burke are just wrong on that. Jesus does not speak to this specific case that Pope Francis is talking about. This has opened up a real question. And I know a lot of folks don't like it, but, you know, we here at Catholic Answers simply report what the Pope has said. I think it is reasonable. I do believe that Pope St. John Paul the Great's Familiaris Consortio paragraph 84 gives the more prudent way because of the possibility of scandal and other reasons. The state of being in that state of divorced and remarried outside of the church, I believe, can lead to scandal. I think Pope John Paul's is the more prudent way. But Sheila, the bottom line is there is nothing in divine law that excludes the possibility that Pope Francis presents. And I know a lot of folks don't like that. Now, it may well be that a future pope will declare this is a matter of divine law, even if someone is not culpable mortally. In that situation, they still cannot receive the Eucharist. But neither John Paul nor Jesus spoke specifically to that. In other words, you know, just to kind of wrap it up here, Sheila, someone can tell a lie, right, and not be culpable of mortal sin, right? Someone can tell a lie and be culpable of mortal sin. You have to determine whether there's truly grave matter involved and so forth, whether the person is truly culpable mortally. And what Pope Francis is saying, and really this is in our tradition as Catholics, it goes back as far as you want to go. We believe that a person can commit that which is objectively, grave matter, commit a sin that is objectively grave matter, and yet not be mortally culpable for it. You know, and it really doesn't matter the sin. Our Holy Father has brought this one to the fore in the case of those who are divorced and married outside the church. But what we need to understand, Sheila, is that Pope Francis is not changing any teaching of the church. He's actually applying perennial teaching of the church in a situation that presents a new question that needs to be dealt with. I believe in a fuller way by the magisterium. Now, I don't think Pope Francis would agree with me on that. He probably says I dealt with it as fully as I need to, but I do think it does need to be dealt with in a fuller way. And I believe, again, Pope John Paul's way was the more prudent. But I think it's unfortunate. We have folks that are going to extremes and calling Pope Francis a heretic and all sorts of things that are simply not founded in reality. And we don't have a statement from the church that tells us that this is, in fact, this scenario that Pope Francis brings up is a matter of divine law. So at any rate, Sheila, there will be much more to come on this topic. Thank you so much for your call, though, Sheila, because I know it's on a lot of folks' minds. Check out the articles I wrote, once again, at timstaples.com.
So you think there's still a little more ink left to be spilled on this one, Tim?
Oh, I will guarantee you. Yes.
All right. Well, Richard, Marcus, Christian, Anonymous, Sean, please forgive us. You hear the music. We are out of time. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kella. Tim, always good to be with you, man. Thanks.
Great to be with you, my friend. God bless you.
All right. Dear friends, don't forget, you can get the free download of the Kindle copy of the Essential Catholic Survival Guide. Limited time. Go to Catholic.com on the homepage and just click on the banner for the free copy of the Essential Catholic Survival Guide. Cy Kellett is back tomorrow. You'll be in great hands once again. I'm Jerry Usher. Thanks for being with us. God bless.